What if President Donald John Trump loses? I don't think he's going to lose. I have to say that repeatedly through the show because I want to keep a optimistic and positive attitude. And based on my research and people I talk to, I believe that Donald Trump is going to be reelected. And I think we're going to find more and more information about the Dominion voting machines, the Dominion softwares, the servers, and it's going to be revealed fully as voter fraud using software. Of course, we know about the dead people. We know about the out of state voting, but the tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of false votes have been routed through these Dominion machines. Now, we didn't expect there'd be this much cheating and this much dishonesty. And to be frank with you, moving forward, there could be betrayals, more lying, more cheating, and of course, more media cover-up. So, just because there was voter fraud, and just because we know how they did it, Biden and the liberals, and we can come close to proving it, they can still cheat. Cheaters gonna cheat. And they're in that scenario, if cheating goes on, bribery goes on, people get suicided, witnesses perjure themselves, all these things, right? It's kind of like this. Just because someone steals a bike, your bike, off your front step, and you know who did it, and you have some evidence, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to win in court because people could bribe the judge. The jury may side against you for some reason. Just because something is true and provable doesn't always mean that the outcome will come to justice. And that's why I'm doing the video today. All right. And before we, and I'm going to talk about politically and then also religiously, spiritually, ecclesiastically, what's going to happen to us, particularly we, the Catholics, or even by extension, even just anyone who identifies as being a Christian in America. What's going to happen? Before we do that, we're going to turn to our Heavenly Father. And we're going to ask him to bless us and to give us grace. Oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless us, all your children today. We ask that you would give us an extra measure of sanctifying grace. We ask that you would increase the virtues in us, faith, hope, charity, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Make us wise. Help us to know and to do your will, we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, like I said, for all of you coming in just now, and before I get started, please like the video. Please share it on Parler, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm loving Parler, by the way. It was a little clunky last week. They kind of got some things ironed out. At first, I didn't like the format. It was confusing. Now I'm starting to like the format over at Parler. Parler is an alternative to Twitter. All right. So if you're on Twitter, all of our stuff gets throttled, censored. It's ridiculous. So I'm over at Parler as Dr. Taylor Marshall. Do I have something to put on the screen? Yeah, here we go. Follow me there. So share this on Parler, share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook. I appreciate that. If you're new, please also subscribe and hit the bell. All right. As I said in the opening, I believe Donald Trump is going to win. I believe there is great voter fraud. I believe that we can prove it. And I believe that we will win. But I also recognize that cheaters are going to cheat. Cheaters cheat. And they've been cheating in the media. They've been cheating on the polls. They've been cheating on the headlines. And then when it actually came to counting and recording votes, they cheated there. There's blood in the water and the sharks are circling. And it's all about this Dominion software and the Dominion voter machines. It's fake, 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 fraud, fraud, fraud. And it can be proven in the courts. And Donald Trump should, and I believe will, be awarded 270 plus electoral college votes. I believe that's going to happen. I am optimistic. But I also realize there's more cheating, bribery, murder, suicide, all kind, blackmail, all kinds of things could happen to still rob President Trump of the victory. And so today, I'm asking the question, if that happens and President Trump loses, what is next? What's the game plan? All right, you hear me all the time. I talk about if you want to have peace, if you want to have virtue, if you want to have a rootedness in this life, you have to be rooted in He who is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. I was not raised in a Christian home. I was not baptized as a youngster. And when I was around, 10, 11, 12 in there, I received an autograph from a Texas Ranger. His name was Daryl Porter. He was a catcher. And he wrote under his signature to me, Romans 10:9, which reads, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, or if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so as a young man, I prayed. I said, I believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. And I said it with my mouth because St. Paul said, say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That is the foundation of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you must have him to be saved. You must have him to have meaning. And you must have him to have peace because he's the Prince of Peace. He says, I give you peace, not as the world gives. He gives you divine peace. The way that you experience that in this life, see, the evangelicals, in a way, we should commend them that they are saying you must repent and believe in Jesus. Are you saved? Are you saved? They put a lot of emphasis on let's get this thing started. And that's good. But St. James says in James chapter 2 that faith is perfected by works. Now, Martin Luther didn't like that. He wanted to get rid of the book of James. But Christians from the very beginning have always revered the epistle of St. James. And it says there that our faith is perfected by works. In other words, our faith isn't perfect when we first become a Christian. It has to be perfected by what? Actions, deeds, works. And James says, you see, a man is not justified by faith alone. Right? It's faith and works. Now, we can only do works, good deeds, by God's grace. So it's not like we're earning salvation. A lot of non-Catholics believe in justification by works. We don't. We believe in faith and works, and faith is the primary. Faith is the theological virtue. So in order to have the peace and the rootedness in Christ, there are actions and activities that we do as disciples of Christ to know him and to be connected to him and even to feel him. And those are chiefly the seven sacraments that he instituted and gave to his 12 apostles. They are baptism, confirmation. This is the strengthening of the Holy Ghost in your life. The Eucharist. This is when Christ took bread and wine and transformed them, changed them, transubstantiated them into his body and into his blood. And he said in John chapter 6, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And I would say to my Protestant friends, if you don't have the Catholic Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, you have no life in you. That's not me. That is the Savior Jesus Christ saying that. That's why I want everyone to become a Catholic. And that's why people say, Taylor, why are you part of the Catholic Church? So corrupt. Pedophiles, bad bishops, bad cardinals, bad popes. Why are you part of that group? Well, it's just like in the Old Testament. Abraham made mistakes. The patriarchs made mistakes. David made mistakes. High priests made mistakes. Moses' brother Aaron made a golden calf. That's pretty bad. But there was only one Israel, one people of God. You can't create your own Israel. You have to stay in the family, stay in Israel, and fight for what is good and bring about repentance, renewal, reform. That is biblical, and that's what God desires. We can't start a Presbyterian church and a Lutheran church and a Methodist church and an Anglican church and on and on and on and on and on. No one in the Old Testament said, hey, let's go start Israel 2.0 and Israel 3.0 and Israel 4.0. No, you stick with the Israel. And that's why you stick with the one true church, the Catholic Church. There are seven sacraments: baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, penance. After we're baptized, we still make mistakes. Sometimes we commit mortal sins. These are sins against the love of God, sins against charity, like murder, adultery, etc. And so there's another sacrament to restore us to a relationship with God, and that's called the sacrament of penance. It's where we confess our sins in the present. We confess them to Christ in the presence of a priest, and then the priest gives us the heavenly decree that we are absolved. Absolution. This is in John chapter 1, where Christ says to his apostles, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins are forgiven. Christ gave that power to the apostles and all their successors and the priests. There's extreme unction. This is for when you're dying. It's also recorded in James' epistle. It's also mentioned in the Gospels. And then there's the sacrament of holy orders. This is the priesthood and all the orders below it that participate in the priestly activity. They preach, they baptize, they do the Eucharist, they hear confession, they do the extreme unction, the last rites. And then there is the great mystery, the seventh sacrament of matrimony. When a man and a woman, not a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and two women, or one woman and two men, but one man, one woman, just like Adam and Eve, enter into a contract and a covenant by which they will procreate and educate children. And that's why Catholics are against abortion and, abortion and contraception. So through those seven sacraments is how we find comfort, peace, and grace. And that's how we get rooted into Christ and abide in Christ, right? These are ways that Christ grabs us and embraces us. That's why we love the sacraments so much as Catholics. But there are other things that we do as well. That we read in Scripture. We read the Bible. I say you should read the Bible 5-15 minutes every single day. A lot of non-Catholics are good at doing that. We Catholics sometimes aren't good at doing that. Read the Bible every day. Begin with the four Gospels, St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John. Pray the Rosary every day. You hear me talk about that. That's the Bible on beads. Why are you talking about this right now, Taylor? I thought this video was on what do we do if Trump loses. I'm trying to tell you that no matter if it's Nero on the throne, Diocletian on the throne, Constantine on the throne, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, or Donald Trump, your daily game plan to have peace and comfort is the same. Belief in Christ, faith in works, living in grace, prayer every single day. The rosary is the easiest, fastest way to pray. It's like training wheels that get you into the divine presence. Reading the Bible. And then other things we have, sacramentals, holy water, scapular, other such things that unite us and draw our hearts and our minds up to Christ. Devotions, novenas, the Sacred Heart, Immaculate Heart, First Fridays, First Saturdays, etc. And I think one of the biggest impediments right now for Catholics is getting to the Holy Mass and receiving the Eucharist on your tongue, the proper way. And that's why I always say, go to the Latin Mass. That's why I say that, right? It's not snobbery. It is the best way. It is the historic way. It is the traditional way to interface with the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. And by their union, by their communion with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. So the main game plan here is beginning with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about, chiefly, I'm going to get into it, political action. It's not about even getting into ecclesiastical action, pursuing canon law rights. The first thing that you have to do is you have to be in a state of grace, in a state of peace, and in a state of growth with Christ. Christ is at the center of all of this. Okay, so once we've accomplished that, and I shouldn't say accomplished, once we've begun it, because you can't accomplish it really in this life unless you're a martyr. But once we've begun this, and we seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then everything after that. Now, if we enter into a four-year period, and I believe Donald Trump's going to win. I said that all at the beginning. For everyone in the chat starts confronting me, I believe Donald Trump's going to win. I believe this is voter fraud. I believe the Dominion servers are all fake, fake, fake. But I also know that sinful, wicked men perjure themselves, murder witnesses, bribe judges, etc. Cheaters are going to cheat. So, on this side of uncertainty, not knowing, if we move into a four-year Biden-Harris, I think we will see Biden renounce the presidency. He will abdicate. And I've said this many times before, he'll present himself as the great Abraham Lincoln. He'll say, you know, there's systemic racism in America. George Floyd, people of color, minorities. And it's time for me, the old white man, to get down on his knees and hold up the keys of America in Washington, D.C., and present them to the black woman. So it'll be a social justice performance. And everyone will celebrate, and Biden will be on the cover of every magazine. And they will praise him because he will be the benevolent and humble old white man who symbolically turns everything over to what the communists and the Marxists and Antifa and BLM and all, everything that they're teaching. He will be the icon for that. That's what I believe. If Biden wins, and I don't think he is, but if he does win, I think that's his plan. I think he knows he can't, in his mind and in his body, endure 4 years as president. He's already been in those corridors for 8 years under Obama. And I think he would prefer to have the fame and the accolades and the applause from the liberal left by making this public display of his great humility and his great spiritedness for this time. And it's so appropriate because he was the first black president's VP, and now he's continuing this great tradition of ethnic liberation. That's what I think will happen. The other thing that I think will happen is whether Harris becomes president or not, I think she would be, she will begin a system of what I saw this past weekend in Washington, D.C., a system of violence and redistribution. They're already talking about, you know, clearing student debt up to $50,000. You can't just clear it. So that debt goes somewhere, and it goes to the American taxpayer. We will see a transformation in the schools, in the public eye about the founding of America. The Constitution will fall under a hermeneutic of suspicion. People, especially young people, will be taught not to trust America, and we will see a transformation, maybe not initially, but perhaps in a legacy of 5 or 10 years or so, of hatred towards America, towards our holidays, towards our flag, etc. I think that's what we're going to see. And the it's very sad because you look, when I was in D.C., I saw so many people of color, Latinos and Blacks, marching side by side. We were all together, high-fiving, praying together, walking together. I mean, I'm not a racist, and I think most of the people there are not a racist. What Trump has done is really unite, and especially for, I think, a lot of the people in the Blexit movement, they look around, they realize Black colleges, neighborhoods, families, income, all these things have gotten better in a very short time, 4 years. We like this. This is good. And the Democrats, who are the party of slavery and the party of Jim Crow laws and segregation and the party of the KKK, the Democrats, not the Republicans, the Democrats are the ones who feed them these social justice lies to keep them down. Candace Owen has been talking about this. Brandon Tatum has been talking about so many. Kanye West has been talking about this. But these voices will be silenced. And we will continue to have this Marxist class warfare. But instead of it being, again, like a Russian format, it's going to be, because America has so many different ethnicities, it's going to be based on racism and ethnic violence. And I hate that. I hate to see that. But I think that's what they're going to push, because that's what's been so successful for the Democrats in the United States of America for the past 5+ years. They know it. They like to ring that bell. The third thing that I think will happen, and we've been seeing it intensely in the last 2 weeks, is social media will become more and more draconian. Twitter. I can't believe what I'm seeing on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. They are censoring everything. I guarantee you, well, I haven't seen it yet, but all the videos I've been putting out, anything that has the word Trump in it gets labeled underneath the video. Maybe y'all can tell me in the live chat right now. Underneath my video, it has a little sticker on there saying, this election has already been called by official sources, or has already been called by the AP. And what conservatives in America are realizing, you know, we were taught in middle school, there are three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. There's checks and balances and how they work together, et cetera. Well, the liberals and the Democrats realize with the advent of technology and mass communication that there's a shadow fourth branch. It's called the media. They're very powerful and they have no checks and balances, and they can actually change the way that hundreds of millions of people think by gaming apps, by social media, by allowing certain headlines to come in and certain headlines not to come in, by banning certain voices, certain perspectives. They can control a meta-narrative, the overarching narrative of what Americans read and see and watch. It's very powerful. Conservatives are like, well, we believe in the three branches and we're going to vote. And a vote is a vote and it's honest. Who cares about the media? But the liberals, they say, yeah, the three branches. What's really important is that we have the Facebook, the Twitter, the Netflix, Google, writing algorithms to promote popular thinking and popular opinion. Promoting certain YouTube channels and suppressing other YouTube channels. That's the shadow fourth branch of the American government. And it's the most powerful, and it has no checks, no checks and balances. So I don't think Biden is going to win, but if they lie, cheat, and steal, and they somehow pull it off, you will begin to see these three things that I just highlighted for you. Now let's talk about spirituality. Let's talk about Christianity. Let's talk about the Catholic Church and what can we expect. Kamala Harris already tried to disqualify a man from being a judge because he was a member of the Knights of Columbus. Were you aware that you are part of an all-male organization that's against a woman's right to choose? Were you aware that you were an all-male organization that is against gender rights and marriage, equal opportunity? All those questions can apply to the Knights of Columbus. They can also apply to just being a Catholic. And persecution's going to come. And people ask, why are our bishops so cowardly? Why do they not have spines or a couple of other things? What is wrong with our bishops? Our bishops are educated men. They're politically connected. They know the mayors of their cities. They know the governors. They know the congressmen. They know the senators. And they see where things are trending. And they believe that if they speak up, they will be off of that trend. And then comes persecution. The Catholic people have been persecuted for 20 centuries. You lose your tax-exempt status. You get mobs, Antifa, BLM, coming into your churches, interrupting. So they kind of think, well, if we can just sort of keep a foot in each world, let's appease the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris type people, and then Antifa and BLM will leave us alone, and we can just wait this thing out. That's what they're trying to do. That's why they're silent. That's why they say nothing. All the lay people are like, come on, do something. Cardinals, make a stand. Be pro-life. Speak up for our liberty as Catholics to attend Holy Mass on Sunday. And in the USCCB, it's crickets. They're waiting it out. They know that if they step up and stand against the Nancy Pelosi's, the Cuomo's, the Biden's, the Harris's, all these people, that when they get more power, they will crush the Catholic bishops. And so they're afraid. It's almost, I think what we people don't understand is it's almost like the Democratic Party and the liberals. You know, like when you're walking through a crowd, you've seen in the movies, there's a guy who has a pistol underneath his raincoat, and he's got the pistol jabbed into the back of his hostage, and he's like, don't talk, keep walking, move, move, move through the crowd. That's what's going on right now. The governors and the mayors have a pistol in the back of the bishops, and they're moving them through the crowd. Add to that, the Catholic Church is rocked by scandals, and these bishops don't want to be on the front page of the local newspaper. They don't want crimes they've committed brought up on the rooftops, and they don't, if they've covered up things, they don't want people to know they've covered up things. So once again, they're fearful and they will not speak. So what's the game plan, Taylor Marshall? The game plan is we need to know they will not speak. And that means the voice, the speaking falls on you and me. We have to speak. We have to teach. We have to teach our children and our children's children the true catechism, the one true faith, the Old and the New Testaments, sacred tradition, the magisterium as passed down from generation to generation, undefiled, indefectible. That's what we must do. I think we need to stop complaining about all these bishops who are doing nothing and just realize we're basically on our own. Yes, we've got a Bishop Athanasius Schneider. Yes, we've got an Archbishop Viganow. Yes, we have a Bishop Strickland. But unless you live in Kazakhstan or Tyler, Texas, You're pretty much on your own. Good priests out there need to realize you're pretty much on your own. We're moving into a fourth century dogmatic war, and we're moving into the Athanasian mode. Athanasius was a great bishop, patriarch, and he fought against all the Eastern heretics. Almost all the bishops in the East were heretics. They were Arians. And he didn't stop. He didn't stop. Even when the Pope did not fully back him and endorse him, and he went into exile, he never stopped. And where he went throughout the East and the West, from Cappadocia all the way up into Europe, he was greeted by the lay people who had the true faith, and they provided a harbor and safety for St. Athanasius. That, if you're watching today, that's going to be you. That's going to be you. And is it going to be stressful? Yes. Is it going to be harder to be a Catholic in this situation? Yes. Are your children in a greater danger of losing their faith and apostatizing right now? Yes, yes, yes. And that's why I go back to the beginning of this video. Are you rooted in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior? Do you pray every day? Do you read the Bible every day? Are you receiving the sacraments? Are you baptized? If not, you need to be baptized. Christ said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Get baptized. Are you in mortal sin? You need to go to confession. Well, Taylor, I'm not a Catholic. How do I go to confession? You become a Catholic. How do you become a Catholic? If you're baptized, you need to meet with a priest, a traditional priest, receive instruction, and then in the traditional pre-Vatican II way, you'll put your hand on a Bible or a book of Gospels, and you will renounce all of your heresies. There is a written formula, so you don't have to think about it. And when you renounce your heresies, you fall under the jurisdiction of the Catholic Church. And when you're under the jurisdiction of the Catholic Church, the priest can hear your confession and give you absolution, and you're a Catholic. And then you can set up receiving the sacrament of confirmation later on. That's how you do it. That's how we've always done it. But we have to begin with Christ. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. And that's how we're going. So this talk today, I'm going to do a quick review because people are coming in a little bit late. We've had an extra 1,000 people come in since I started. While you're here, please like, please share it on Parler, Facebook, and Twitter, and please subscribe. Here's a review of the show so far. Opening comments, I still think Trump's going to win, and I feel very confident in that. But I also realize cheaters are going to cheat. Therefore, get yourself rooted in Christ. Be baptized if you're not baptized. Go to confession. Receive the sacrament of penance if you haven't. Get confirmed if you're not. Get married in the Catholic Church. Holy matrimony. Do not contracept. Have a large family. Have children. It's a blessing. My wife, Joy, and I, we have 8 children. It is a blessing. This morning when we woke up, I saw some meme. It was about a 30-year-old woman or something. And I said, hey, babe, how old... When you were 31, how many kids did we have? And she's like, we had 5. I was like, wasn't that the best? We were young. We were full of life. We had five little ones in our little tiny house. And what? That was the time of our lives. That was wonderful. Don't wait to have kids. Find Mr. Right. Find Mrs. Right. And start having a bunch of beautiful children. You can't take anything to heaven except your kids. So you get rooted in Christ, and then we looked at the political problems. We looked at how Biden will likely present himself as Abraham Lincoln and give the keys to Kamala Harris. We looked at how Christians will lose their rights. We looked at how the race baiting and the race rivalries will be fueled by the Democratic Party, by the likes of Kamala Harris. There'll be more violence in the streets. And then we looked at the ecclesiastical, why bishops are quiet, and what we must do. We must have a voice. Now, one wild card that I haven't addressed so far, and this will be the last part of today's show, is COVID and the pandemic, plandemic situation. I don't know how that is going to pan out, but I'm very sympathetic to the Davos Great Reset theory that Joe Biden, China, and other powerful leaders, including Francis Bergoglio himself, they are going to use COVID-19 or COVID-21 or whatever it mutates into to continue to lock down and destroy small businesses, to destroy small towns, to redistribute wealth, and to lock up churches. I suspect that is where they're going. They always use a crisis in order to extend their evil and perfidious plans. And I suspect, I'm not reading, I'm just speaking, I suspect that they will continue to push this agenda even further. Lockdowns. They're already saying no masks on Christmas. They'll say, well, you know, 2020 Easter, that's lockdown too. 2021 Pentecost, lockdown. 2021 Assumption, lockdown. 2021 Immaculate Conception, lockdown. Oh, look, 2021 Christmas, locked out again. But it's all for your safety. And I'm going to do another video later on, but it's what do we do when you're locked out of your church? What do you do when you can't get your baby baptized or you want to be baptized and a priest won't do it? Can't get confirmed, can't attend mass. What are we going to do? There's a plan. We have a plan. Don't worry. But that's a much longer video. So that's today's video. Thanks for watching. And if you take one thing from this video, I would say it is you today need to spend 2 or 3 minutes reassessing your life in the light of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ to me? Do I really believe in him? Do I believe he rose from the dead in his body, that he's consubstantial of God the Father? Do I believe that? And do I believe that he can solve and fix all the problems in my life and bring peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding? Do I really believe that? And then if you do, how am I going to take my faith to the next level? Do I need to become a Catholic? Do I need to pray the rosary every day? Do I need to go to confession? Should I start today reading the Gospel of St. Matthew so I know who Jesus is? That's what we need to do. All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching. And of course, I've already said it a few times. Make sure you pray the rosary every day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. The rosary is the Bible on beads. So rattle those beads for the kingdom of heaven. That's the weapon. Read the Bible every day. Find a traditional Latin mass. If you're a father, love and take care of your wife. Hug her, kiss her, comfort her. Don't be fearful. Be the oak for your family. Be the stronghold. Be the umbrella for your family. Wives, respect your husbands. Greet them when they come home. Treat them well. Laugh together, have fun, be kind to each other, and raise your kids to love God and to love Christ. And have a good time while you're doing it. It's a joyful thing to raise children. And priests, we need you. Please pray for us. We pray for you. Celebrate reverent holy masses. And we're here for you. We want to support you, whether we support you financially or with our friendship or even with shelter, whatever happens. We want to be here for you. We, more than ever, we lay people, we want captains. We want majors. We want generals leading us and guiding us. All right. Well, let's pray a Hail Mary. And we'll sign off here. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, or pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Mighty God, I pray for everyone watching that you would draw them closer to your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would forgive all of our sins and our faults. Help us to have the peace that your Son came to give us, and may we all be saved through his precious blood. We pray this in his name. Amen. St. Joseph, pray for us. Our Lady Immaculate Conception, pray for us. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, friends, if you would, please like the video. And the most important thing you can do is share it. Like I said yesterday, this channel on YouTube just hit 300,000 subscribers. 300,000, that's a lot of people. And that happened not just because I talk on a video camera in the room above my garage. It happened because all of you people hit the share button and you share it with your friends and your family on Facebook. That's how it happens. So please hit that share button. That's the best thing you can do for this show, for this podcast that I'm doing right now. And if you are new, please subscribe on YouTube and hit the bell. That's the notification bell. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed.